I'm just a passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. There is coming a day
when the
holy day shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. And what a day, glorious day, that will be. And what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, and what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Good to see each of you for the worship hour, as we come together truly with a desire to draw nearer to Him through worship. Thank you for being here. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before You and we thank You for the Bible hour that we just finished and studying through Your word about Christian character and humility in each of our hearts. Lord, I pray that You be with us now as we come into this worship time, as we practice what we've learned and humble ourselves before You, lifting up Your holy name and exalting You, for You are worthy in all those things. And I pray that You would help us to dismiss from our mind all the worries, all the cares, and just focus in on You that You might minister to our souls. We thank You, Lord, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Goodness of God.
Together we're going to lift up our voices as we sing one of the new songs we've been singing. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. Nations all knowing He counts.
I rejoice in my is satisfied in Him alone. Summer flowers we fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty hurry by, but life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might, or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my in Him alone. Two wonders here that I confess, my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. My soul, I will trust in Him, no other. My soul is satisfied in Him alone. In Him alone.
Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, if you would. Matthew chapter 13. It starts off in those first few verses by simply saying, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. When we come to Matthew chapter 13, which has almost 60 verses in it, we find that he begins to speak to us of the kingdom of God in parable after parable after parable. And these parables bring to us an understanding of the value of the Word of God at work in the kingdom of God. When we use a broad term like the kingdom of God, it almost needs to be defined for us, because for us, what is the kingdom of God? And the kingdom of God really is just the work of God. It is all that God is doing throughout the time of all time as He ministers to and works His works. It's that broad. But within the kingdom of God are all these different segments. Creation is part of the kingdom of God. God's Word is a part of the kingdom of God. The preaching of God's Word is a part and work of the kingdom of God. When we come to chapter 13, we find parable after parable of really helping us to understand the value of God's Word at work in His kingdom. And the parables are really given to us to draw mental pictures so that we ourselves, as we hear it, we imagine and we begin to perceive and create in our mind a thorough understanding. It's kind of like even the names of God or the descriptive phrases of our Lord Jesus Christ. They help us to draw images of who He is. He's called the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and the Morning Star. He's called the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Bread of Life, the Living Water. Every one of those phrases from the Bible about Him, so that we can draw a mental picture and understand a little bit more about our Lord. As we come to chapter 13 and we begin to listen to the parables that Jesus taught that day, we too begin to draw a mental picture. So we'll start in chapter 13. I'm going to read you verses 4 down through 8. These four verses, I want you to imagine what He's drawing for you concerning the Word of God and the work of the Word of God. It says, "And when He sowed some seeds, fell by the wayside." Talking about a farmer back in that day as he sowed and scattered seed. He says, "When He sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls, the birds, they came and they devoured the seed up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So Christ is drawing for us a picture in our minds. Over in verse 19, He kind of pulls it together for us to understand the symbolism in the parable. Listen to verse 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth it away, that which was sown in his heart. That is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So what we find the Lord Jesus Christ do here is He draws for us an agricultural picture of the day when He lived, the time of the writing of the scriptures. And actually, for many centuries, that's exactly how farmers farmed. Today, it's a little different, isn't it? You look out in the field and you see this massive John Deere and it unfolds its equipment and it begins to work across the fields. That's not at all what was taking place back then. Was a simple farmer working the soil, sowing his seed. And Jesus says, I want you to draw that picture in your mind so that you understand that that seed is the Word of God. And the different soil placements, the stony ground, the thorny ground, the wayside, or the good ground, that is our heart. So He wants us to begin to understand that in God's kingdom, there's something so valuable that it's the seed of the Word of God. And the ground is us. And He wants us to grasp that in the whole work of all the kingdom, all that He's doing, this is so important that we have a visual understanding. We understand the wayside, The fact that when some of the Word of God is put out this morning or any other place, any other time, He said some of it falls by the wayside. And there it sits. And the evil one comes and he devours it up and takes it away. And nobody benefits. Nobody bears fruit from it. But he said, also there are hearts that are stony hearts. They're in the field. They're not on the wayside. They're stony, hard ground. And he said, when the word of God comes down upon it, it doesn't sink into the soil. It's hard, stony. And therefore, once it starts to sprout a root, it doesn't take root. And sometimes in our hearts, that's exactly what happens to us with the Word of God. We hear it. We take it. But our heart is hardened towards whatever that truth, whatever that principle was. And we do not absorb it. And he says that too withers, draws up, and falls away. And bears no fruit. He says, then there's that thorny ground. And every one of us, if we're not careful, within our hearts, within our lives, are also those thorny places where the cares of this world, all the things that pull at us and tug at us and distract us, they begin to choke out the principles of the Bible, the principles of God's Word. And His goal, His objective is for you and I to visualize this in this parable and to look at ourselves and say to ourselves, yes, I can see that in me. I can see the side where I just let the word go off. I see the stony place where I don't let it take root. Yes, I see also the thorny, weedy area of my soul where I let all the cares of this world, my pride, my goals, my offenses, my who knows what it may be, I let it choke out the truths of God's Word rather than let it flourish and bear fruit. He wants us to see that and understand it as it applies to us. But He brings us to the good ground, and that's where we should all strive to be. Remember verse 23 in chapter 13? But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. He understands it. And it bears fruit. And it brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Whatever it is that God has for you or for me in our place at our time, we see how that seed, it comes and it rests within us and it begins to bear fruit in us and through us. He wants us to see that at work in our lives. When we pick up our Bible, when we sit and listen to preaching or teaching, when we begin to meditate on the truths of God, is our heart open, receptive, tender, soft? Is it letting that Word of God flourish to where it bears fruit? So as he starts off in this first parable in chapter 13, he wants us to really draw in, absorb it, and visualize the value of God's Word. But then he comes down and he gives to us another parable. We're not going to hit every parable because if we do, we're not going to be out of here when you expect to be out of here. But we come down, and I want you to look with me, if you would, at chapter 13, all the way down to verse 31. And there are some great parables between, and I would encourage you to read them. But look with me down to chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. When we remember the first parable, where he taught us the seed is what? The word of God. The ground is what? Our hearts. And the birds that come down and snatch up the seed is the evil one. So when we've learned that all in the first parable and we work through the parables and we come to this parable, again, we're able to draw a mental picture. And he's talking to us, yes, again, about an agricultural event. But here they're sowing the seed for mustard seed, mustard plants. Now, it's interesting. We know other things in the Bible about the grain of a mustard seed. The Bible teaches us that if we have faith, even as the grain of a mustard seed, we could move mountains because it's such a tiny seed. And he's saying to us, you know, if we would just believe and trust in God, even the size of a mustard seed, we could do great things for him. But here he's taking us back to this agricultural scene that we might visualize the sower out there. The seed comes and it takes into good ground and it grows forth this great herb, so great that a bird can land in it and there rest, roost. So he begins to help us to understand the prosperity and maybe a little bit of risk that it lies within God's word and its prospering. We've looked at the application, seed being the word, the message, ground being our hearts, the birds being the evil one. And as we look at that, we understand that it can take root and truly flourish. That's what he says. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this grain of mustard seed, which indeed can grow. It can grow to where it is the greatest among the herbs. And in your life and in mine, when we take the principles of God's word and we allow it to sink in and become a part of us, it can make a massive difference. It can be of such great value. It can be as the greatest of herbs. The other week, my mom, she plants a little garden thing out beside her sliding glass doors in her complex where she lives out of Massachusetts. And so I've made it a tradition that annually I go down and I take her and she can pick out the plants she wants. And Sandy and I buy those for her as kind of an expression of our love for her being happy. Because she loves where she is and she's happy. That makes me happy. Doesn't that make you happy for your mom? And so we go, and the other day I had to get the church van, and it was down in southern Vermont, so I shot down and took her to buy her plants. And I know it's early, but she's got them all in front of her little sliding glass door in her apartment. But she wanted herbs. And so we go, I know nothing about herbs. Nothing. Other than you can go and there's a spice rack with herbs in them. That's about it. But her and Sandra Jo, they're talking about herbs. They're going through this. And mom picks up this herb pot that, you know, is for sale. And this thing is, I mean, it's got enough herbs to feed the entire church in it. It's a huge pot. I said, Mom, are you sure you want one that big? She said, oh, I don't know. No, I guess not. Well, they had three sizes. And we come down, and then there's this little herb that she says, well, that's probably about as much as I would need. But that big one looked so good. And so we compromised. She went with the small herb, but she bought a tomato plant that was almost ready to harvest. As we look at this, we visualize. We can build in our mind what he's talking about. And he says this little tiny seed, this little bit of God's word that flourishes and grows into great faith in our lives. He says, this is something that we admire. It's something we desire. It's something that we strive towards. And as we look at that two-verse parable that he gives to us, we're reminded, as we come to the last part, it says, it becomes as a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And all of a sudden that pulls me back anyways. And I think to myself, so I get it about the word and how it's flourished into this great herb. And And now the birds have come and they've nested in this great herb tree. But you've already told me back in the first parable that the birds could be the evil one. So I have to step back and I've got to redo my mental picture. And then I begin to understand. He's telling me even the word of God can be taken and it can flourish. But if I don't guard, it can be misused or abused. It can be twisted. The evil one could begin to build a nest in there. And you and I, it's so important for us that we understand what we believe, why we believe it, and practice it. Because we don't want to let the evil one come and build a nest in us. We don't want to be that person that has allowed Satan to use us. We want to make sure that we value that which is precious of God. But we recognize that Satan, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He never gives up. He always is there. He's always watching. It's kind of like Job. When you go to the book of Job and you find Satan and he comes before God and then God says to him, well, what have you been doing? He says, I've been going to and fro all the earth. Looking, watching. And so he does today. And he's looking for people who will say, you can rest right here. Build a nest right here. You can roost right here. And sometimes even Christians do that. Sandy and I, we were, I think it was down south. We were down south and I needed to get something at the Home Depot or Walmart, one or the other. We pulled in the parking lot, and there's a guy with a giant parrot. I took a picture of it. God, he's walking around in the parking lot, and he's got a parrot. I mean, it was huge. And he's just walking around. He's visiting. Kids are getting out. You know, parents are pulling up. They're driving over. The kids are coming over talking to him. I went over and talked to him. I mean, how often do you see a parrot this big sitting on a guy's shoulder at the store? But if we're not careful, we're inviting the evil one to sit on our shoulder, to build a nest in our heart, to twist and distort Scripture to where we ourselves can justify a myriad of things. And he warns us. He says, listen, something so valuable, we want it to bear fruit and much fruit. We want it to thrive and do so well. But don't ever forget that those birds are looking for a place to roost. And we must be alert, aware, ready, that we might always honor the Lord. Because not all birds are evil, are they? There are good birds. There are birds that drive off evil birds. Have you ever come to a place where you see a plastic owl sitting up here? And that's because that plastic owl is all powerful. Actually, I think birds are smarter than that. It's not too long they say, that thing is plastic. But the idea behind it is that the owl will drive away the birds that would eat the seed. So when we take this parable and we look and we recognize the birds sitting in that herb, we understand that it could be a good bird too. It doesn't have to be an evil bird. But we draw those pictures. As we come down chapter 13, look with me down at verse 44, and we're going to see the third and the last that I'm going to show you this morning. And that is that Christ really illustrates the true value of God's message in this parable. Listen as I read to you verses 44 down through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You and I, as we look at this verse, he's moved away from agriculture, and now he's moved to something maybe we understand a little better. Treasure. Monetary things. Things of great value. And he talks to us about the treasure that, again, is hid in our heart. That treasure being the Word of God. We ourselves willing to seek it out, search it out, know it. Listen again to the first part of verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field, the which a man, when he has found it, where it was hidden, with great joy, he buys the field. You and I, when we take the Word of God, that which God has given us here in His kingdom, part of His work, part of our lives, when we find that treasure, we ourselves take it. We embrace it. We accept it. It's like the gospel. When somebody sat down and explained to you that you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners in need of salvation. And then they explained to you that Jesus Christ paid for your sin and my sin. He offers to us the treasure of eternal life if we will but just accept the gift. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You and I, we receive that gift. He says that person, it becomes of such great value, that treasure of such great importance. He says he will buy the whole field that he might have that treasure. And you and I, when we think about the principles, the teachings of the Word of God, the principles of the kingdom of God, when we find that treasure, when we finally realize what we have, when we finally realize in our lives, whether it is a child or an elderly person, when they finally understand what this is, they will give anything. For what profits a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? This is far greater value to us than anything else we have in our lives. And that's what Jesus wants us to understand. He wants us to understand that what we possess right here in the kingdom of God would be equally greater than the most incredible treasure you could find in your backyard. People kill for treasure, don't they? People lie for treasure. People steal for treasure. It's so valuable. So life-changing. And here he says to us, the kingdom of God, the Word of God, is of greater value than that. So would we simply, God's not asking us to kill for it. He's not asking us to lie for it. He's not asking us to steal from our neighbor to get it. He's saying Jesus already paid for it all. And he just simply offers to us the treasure of eternal life, of the principles of Christian life, the value of building our lives around His kingdom. This treasure is available to every one of us if we will but accept it. As we look, he kind of shifts a little when he goes from the treasure to the pearl. Again, he says in verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls. This is the buyer and seller of pearls. Years ago, I went to preach in the Philippines. And the pastor, we preached at many different places, but one of the places was right there on the coast. And the pastor there in the Philippines, he had me in a little tiny hotel that was right on the beach in Subic, Philippines. And so I went down and I was sitting at this little table, and it was a little rock wall, and then it was the water. And this Philippine guy and his I think it was his daughter, came paddling up in this boat. And he came and he had pearls. He said, would you like to buy some pearls? And I'm not really in the market for pearls, but I do have a wife at home who likes stuff like that. And I thought to myself, I said, well, how much are these pearls? And are they plastic pearls? Because I can get those in the little machine, you know. So he went ahead and he got them out and he showed us, he talked to us. And I think I asked somebody that was there to look at them. And they said, yeah, they are real pearls. And so we went ahead and we worked out a deal. But I was not looking for pearls. And I got some for Sandra Jo, and I think I got some for my daughter. Because in the Philippines, they were dirt cheap. But they were pretty. Some things in our lives we come across and we think to ourselves, wow, that is really beautiful. That's really maybe valuable. That's precious. And we will go ahead and reach into our hard-earned money for where our heart is, there also is our treasure. That's what the Bible says. It's hard-earned, isn't it? It's hard-earned. And all of a sudden, we'll pay to get that. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, here's this man who buys and sells in pearls. And he goes out and he's searching for that which is right, good, valuable. He wants to make sure it's not plastic. It can't be freshwater pearls or whatever there is out there in pearls. Now, I mean, you can get diamonds made from your granddad's ashes. I mean, you never know what there is out there today. But you go ahead and you look at this, and he says, this guy goes out and he seeks, he searches, he looks for good pearls. And you and I, this right here is worth seeking and searching. It's worth spending time in. We're doing the adult Bible study on Christian character. And if you don't come for the adult Bible study at 9:30, I encourage you to come by and grab one of these books, take it home. It's really a Bible study, verse by verse by verse Bible study. As much as I would love to have you in the class, I'd like you to take one if you'll do it. Because everyone has a verse, you can read it, you can search it, you can meditate on it, and you can fill out the blank on your own. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, the Bible says. Take the time. Here, he searches, he looks for, he seeks out those pearls that are good. When you look at verse 46, it says, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Jesus Christ is trying to help us to understand, to visualize the great, great value that rests in the principles of God that we so take for granted. We have found the pearl of great price. Our Lord, His truths, the message of salvation. He says, surely that would be worth selling everything you have. But you don't have to. Jesus already gave all that He had upon the cross. He already paid it all for you and I. And here we are today. We hold within our hands this wonderful, amazing pearl. Do we neglect it? Do we care for it? The other week, we had the carpet. This carpet job was supposed to go all the way down through and up through the office over a year ago. We're still working on finishing the whole thing. But here a few weeks ago, John and I think it was Billy, they pulled the old carpet out of the offices up there. And then Sean, the carpet guy, came and him and his helper laid new carpet in the church offices. But if you've ever had glued down carpet pulled up, it filled the whole office area with dust and dirt. I mean, a lot of dust and dirt. So Priscilla, the lady who cleans for us down in the preschool area, I said to her, Priscilla, is there any way you could schedule in some time and just come through the office area and dust? And I think she said to me, well, I don't think I dusted that long ago or something like that. I said, yeah, but when they pulled that carpet up, it's everywhere. So we went up and we looked, and even some of the Bibles I have in my bookshelf, because I have multiple Bibles in the bookshelf. And when you pull those Bibles out, they're covered with dust. I don't like that. She needed to clean that dust off all through the office. And I'm going to ask you a simple, pointed question. In your life, is there dust all over that pearl of great price in your life? Or do you care for it, value it, understand it? Because Jesus is saying, this man, he went and he searched and searched for pearls, but he came across one. And there are people all around the world searching and searching and searching for truth. But it's not until we finally see the pearl of great price. It's not until we finally see the real value that we have right here, that we fully understand it's worth everything. Everything. Thank you, Jesus, for paying everything that I might have it. But have I allowed it in my heart and in my life to just gather dust? Or am I really using it, practicing it, living it, adhering to it, passing it on, sharing it? Is it valuable enough to enjoy? Or am I just letting it sit and all the dust is gathering on it? Both in my heart and in my home. What are you and I doing with the kingdom of God's most precious message of the Word of God? If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, then I encourage you this morning to come and receive Christ. But if you've already received Christ, I challenge you as a Christian. Where are you at in relation to the imagery that Jesus drew for us today? What kind of condition is your ground, your heart? How are you welcoming and embracing the Word of God? Are you warding off the evil one, or are you allowing him to nest in you? Are you valuing the precious gift even as a pearl of great price? You and I as Christians, we have to step back and do a little self-evaluation. That's what the Bible compels us to do. And this morning, as we bow our heads, and I'd like you to bow your heads with me as we come to the end of the service. This morning, as we bow our heads, can we see that parable as it applies to us? Any one of the three that I brought out this morning, let's take just a moment. Let's look, let's meditate, let's examine how we line out with the parables of God. Father in heaven, as we are dismissed, I pray that you would go forth with us. Help us, Lord, to meditate on the truths we've heard this morning and to practice them. Help us to exalt you and lift you up, for you are worthy. And Lord, truly, we know that the gift of salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the pearl of great price. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted. And I will praise His name. Shall reign heaven and earth. exalted, the King is exalted on high. Men, we're dismissed this morning.